Memorial Day is one of those holidays that many people equate with barbecues, beaches, and shopping. Sometimes it's difficult to reorient attention to the real purpose of Memorial Day, and that can be especially tough for long-ago historical events, Pearl Harbor, for example. How can historians make Pearl Harbor relevant to kids, even kids who grow up in Hawaii, now generations away from actual contact with some of the survivors? Daniel Martinez is the chief historian for the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument, and he answered it this way.
Well, I think that that's a very ponderous question that you ask, because each generation is challenged by its remembrance. It's not that long ago, in the 1930s, that generation was talking about how it would resolve its whole remembrance of those that had fought in the American Civil War. Challenged again in the 1930s of how they were going to remember those that fought in World War One, and now here we are challenged again as each generation fades slowly from the scene. How do we remember them? And that's actually the title of our film, How Shall We Remember Them, that everybody sees before they go to the memorial. And the National Park Service, which is in charge of that interpretation at what is now World War II Valley in the Pacific National Monument, takes on that challenge of remembrance and interpretation throughout our sites, which include the Pacific War sites and, of course, the outbreak of the war at Pearl Harbor. And so those of us that have ties to that story, my grandfather being at Pearl Harbor on the Mexican-American side of our family, a young Juan Perez, a soldier in the artillery outfit at Schofield Barracks, we remember these individuals. But in a larger sense, each family has their ties to World War II. They haven't, in some instances, not discovered them. And so your question is a very valid one, and one that I think will keep alive through the national and private media. When I say that the newspapers are and the media is apt to pick up the 75th anniversaries as they approach. We're going to be approaching 1942 anniversaries. We have the Battle of Midway coming up in just a matter of a week. And then we'll be looking at these other campaigns, not only the Pacific, but in Europe. And Normandy in 1944 will be another one, which we, you know, so as we proceed, I think perhaps it's there, but how do we touch a generation that is being robbed of its history by it not being taught properly in its schools?
Have you had to change the delivery of the information to account for this generational change, especially as we're here in Hawaii?
Yes, I have. And we have a new chief of interpretation, Jay Blount. And Jay comes from American Battle and Monuments Commission. He was a superintendent there. Now he's our chief of interpretation. And he's challenged by that. And we're collectively working with the superintendent. And how are we going to introduce this to young people? We're very fortunate that we have a vibrant educational program that brings a number of local students to Pearl Harbor for the first time. And it's our hope and that we touch them through our educational programs and our, you know, we have a junior ranger program throughout the National Park Service that tries to bring people in touch. I think it's interesting because I haven't been asked this question, but I've been dying to answer it. I think we have too many cooks in the kitchen. And everybody is dabbling about trying to figure out how they touch this generation. And many of them are thinking if we don't have virtual reality, if we don't have the latest gizmos, we're not going to touch these children and young people. And I think they're dead wrong. I think that I have had the experience and other park rangers have experienced. We get them one-on-one and we tell them a compelling story that touches their heart or their emotions. I think we have them. I think that that's one of the ways. And so this too many cooks in the kitchen is something that I think plagues education in general. How we approach education seems to be as remote for me right now, because my education, as I remember it, was basic and upfront. My college education was basic and upfront. And the only thing that's changed is me occasionally being an adjunct professor in teaching is the application of how I do my grading and how I do my attendance and all of that through a computer and how I issue homework. But I'm still, you know, I'm still baffled by the way that we seem to be stumbling over ourselves on trying to deliver this message.
Daniel, sometimes, though, we get one of those very upfront and very direct messages about history. For example, when we find out that a former shipmate wants to be returned in death to join other shipmates who were killed at Pearl Harbor.
Right.
Or in some cases, those who have been buried in Hawaii and then their families want to have them buried elsewhere later on. There have been those cases recently, too, very recently. Every time
right,
we see
Oklahoma.
One of those, right, every time we see one of those, it's another time in which you could make an attempt to tell a story and to do it simply.
I think so, and I think the eloquence of the internment ceremonies that take place between the National Park Service and the United States Navy and occasionally the United States Marine Corps allow that poignant moment. If you see one of those, and we're hoping to have more online, we have actually, you know, filmed them, and they're going to be available for people to watch. But, you know, the internment that we just had for Raymond Harry, who was a crew member aboard the Arizona that survived and wished to come back to join his shipmates, none of his family could attend except for the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And that was the first time. I've been doing these for, oh, my gosh, I'm maybe nearly 15, 16 years now. And that struck me just between, you know, mentally it shifted that, my gosh, we're not even having the children here. We're at a point of having the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren attend the service. It was overwhelming. It was extremely emotional. In particular, the daughter of the son of Raymond Harry, who couldn't make it because of illness, she had no idea of the complexity and, I guess, the patriotic moment it's hard to describe, but when this takes place, there's this combination of heritage, patriotism, a military funeral with all of its parlances. It's just something that she was not prepared for. She was not prepared for the folding of the flag, which takes nearly 5 minutes, and then it is given to her as part of the memory of Raymond Harry, her grandfather. Taps that's played, echo taps that rings throughout the memorial in this solemn tribute to those who died and serve aboard USS Arizona still. It's all of these nuances of a military funeral that was overwhelming for her.
And all part of stories that we hope many people will be telling on Memorial Day and remembering that they can also see, as you say, by going online and experiencing what Memorial Day is supposed to be about. Thank you so much for the time.
Well, let's all remember Pearl Harbor and those who served and those who died in World War II.
Daniel Martinez is the chief historian for the World War II Valor in the Pacific National Monument. That includes the USS Arizona Memorial and Visitor Center, the USS Utah Memorial, the USS Oklahoma Memorial, the Chief Petty Officer Bungalows on Ford Island, and the mooring keys that were part of Pearl Harbor's battleship Roe. We talked with Daniel Martinez a few days ago.